to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am your host, TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we bring in a guest who watched a movie that we just watched. We talk about that movie, guys.
Indeed, that is what we do. This week is no different, except we have a very special guest, a woman I've known for a very long time. She just told me how long we knew each other, and I don't want to share that part of it. But
95 years.
We met doing a play. That's right, your boy did a play once in his life. Well, maybe twice, actually. A few times, actually. But we met doing a play called Funny Business. Mm-hmm. You may have seen on Curb Your Enthusiasm, the Larry the Cable Guy movie. Health Inspector. She has, I don't know, did we see that together? We may have seen that in a movie together.
Oh my, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think I went to see that with you. She has a very popular character that she did online called Svetlana that went, did a lot of things with that.
We ended up doing a TV series.
And author of two books.
Yes, three books.
Three. I think I've read two of them.
I just ghost wrote with J.B. Smoove.
Oh, book. Nice, yeah, nice.
Book of Leon.
When you ghost write, are you supposed to say that you did it?
It's not like I'm writing Hillary Clinton's biography. It's co-write.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
I'm
the inside cover. It's not.
And
like
what are
I'm
the names of these books so people know? You can say it again.
Right.
At the end.
Well, the first, it's their memoirs. The first is called Dork Whore.
Dorkor, yeah.
My travels through Asia as a 20-year-old pseudo-virgin, that's right, and ended up losing it to a cucumber, spoiler alert.
Yes.
And then the sequel was Machu My Picchu.
Right.
Then once I lost my virginity, I was able to embark on sexcapades through South America.
Indeed. As you do.
Yeah. As you do. And then, I ghost wrote and I co-wrote. Ghost wrote, co-wrote, underwrote, co-wrote, whatever co-wrote. The fuck
Very
you want to
nice.
Call it, I wrote.
Well, the lovely Iris Barr is with us today.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. And you, when I went to Israel, you took one of my jokes. Translated it into
it was a good
Hebrew.
Joke.
Yeah, and it worked really well.
I know how the Hebrews
you delivered
think.
It in Hebrew?
Just some of it, yeah. It was kind of it was a language joke, and she helped me.
I helped assist. And I'm also now I have my X-ray podcast as my new alter ego, Raylan Casper White.
Indeed, yes.
So many alter egos.
Alter egos. It helps.
Just
it
keeping
helps.
Busy. What's going on? Tell us what you've been up to.
I just had Nellie Mackay. Do you know her? Amazing singer-songwriter. She was on the podcast today. I went to see Ethan Coen's new play.
Oh, nice.
Of the Coen brothers. He was doing it. God, the tea's making me burp. I'm so sorry. At the, whatever the big theater is downtown, the Taper. And I knew a bunch of actors from New York there. So I went to see it. And she's this amazing singer, luminous. So I had her on the podcast, which was nice. And I just moved back to LA. I was in New York for a long time, and now I'm here, and I'm shooting an episode of Good Girls. You guys watch that show?
I do, yeah.
Okay, right on. I'm shooting that on Monday.
With Retta.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And then
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and someone from Orange is the New Black is actually jumping over to that show, too.
Oh, okay.
Forget the girl's
name. It looks great. And then I'm headlining Caroline's next week, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, very nice.
How long have you been in LA now?
Since mid-August. I mean, I lived here before. That's me and Dwayne were doing that festive musical called Funny Business.
Timing is everything.
Oh my God, that was a song. Holy fuck.
Give us a quick lick.
A play.
It was a play about stand-up comedy.
They didn't let us sing. They didn't let me sing, but it was about stand-up comedy.
You were like speaking singing. You know, you're doing a tune, but you're talking it.
Right, but they had great singers. Really great singers.
And they had Will Durst, the legendary Will Durst.
And we did some of our act, and that's...
We did. And then I was like the newbie trying to make it in comedy.
John Viner.
You were the Sally
John
Field
Viner,
in Punchline.
Exactly.
From Family Guy.
John Viner,
It was a lot of fun.
It was good, and then it went nowhere. As most things
yes,
do.
Yes, exactly. That describes 90%
I think she mounted it like 10 different... Over 10 years, I think she kept mounting the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a great time. I had a good time.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Did I bring you in there? Did I meet you there?
I think we met there.
Okay.
It worked out well because there's a... what's the veggie place right on the corner?
Oh, yes, that place. I saw Anthony Kiedis there once, and I was like, he's short.
Yeah, the juice. Like,
it was like a hippy-dippy LA juice, healthy place.
There's one in Pasadena. They do juice stuff, too. I forget the name right now.
There are
now.
More places like that now. Back in the day, it was Del Taco, and then this healthy place.
Like we were downstairs, or we were upstairs, and Menopause, the play, was like...
Menopause the Musical. Yes.
They were either upstairs and we were downstairs
shared the
or vice
space.
Versa. Yeah, yeah. Something
Did you get
like
some
that.
Accidental crossover audience?
Oh, yes.
I think you guys are looking for Menopause.
Exactly.
I think we may have, actually.
And they used to come in purple hats. Like, once a week, they come in these purple hats, these like groups of ladies wearing all purple.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There was some sort of...
I think so. Real Food Daily.
Thank you. RFD.
Oh, yeah, I know that spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Anthony Kiedis, who's still hot after all those years.
Still hot despite being alarmingly short.
Alarmingly
like, how short are we talking?
Well, like, I'm between 5'3 and 5'5. Uh-huh. This, I kind of fluctuate, right? I think he was eye to eye.
Depending on the callus, how much callus you have under your foot.
The bunions. But I met Tom Cruise a couple of times and we talked eye to eye. Yeah, and then I leaned in and gave him a small kiss on the lips.
Nice, nice.
Delightful.
Did you slip him some meds? Why? No,
I said, Dianetics.
Right. I do feel like
which
that's...
Which kind of comes up in this movie. We'll get to that.
Diuretics. Oh, fucking favorite diuretics.
I feel like the surprisingly short thing is very common amongst actors.
Amongst megastars.
Where I'm like, oh, I could have been huge had I only known I didn't need to be taller.
No, you just have to be short with a massive head.
Yes, yeah, the big lollipop head.
But I mean, Dustin Hoffman, you know, I don't know if Bobby De Niro's short, but a lot of these guys that have power on screen, you think, oh, they're because their stature feels really big, but then you see them and you're like, you're minute.
I have no concept of how tall Robert De Niro is, and that has never occurred to me until just now.
Yeah,
he could be 6'5".
Because you know Joe Pesci's
going
to be short.
Yeah,
you know, Joe Pesci's short.
Wouldn't
right?
that
Harvey
be amazing
Keitel.
If Joe Pesci was like 6'2", five with that voice?
Yeah. Hey, you. Don't make me come over there.
Really you just, when you get taller, your voice actually just gets deeper. But
something
by the length of the vocal cord.
I didn't know that the giraffes don't have a voice. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because their larynx, I guess it's so long, you can't support
so
a voice from that.
So they spend their whole lives trying to talk,
they
but
mime.
It never comes out.
Yeah, they're
just
miming.
Can't make it to
exactly.
their mouth.
Like,
that's wow.
That's devastating.
You know, I want someone to fact check that, because I feel like I know that.
Well, I'm right on this trivia show, so I will be writing a question about that
and
tomorrow.
And text me.
Yeah,
maybe giraffes are like the loudest mammal in nature.
They just have a blood-curdling scream for their mating call. Strongest larynx in the game.
I wonder how long giraffes' penis. Like, I've never seen giraffes mate. I see you see like elephants, horses, but giraffes. It feels
well,
like it
know,
would be awkward.
Their tongues are quite long.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You think
okay?
Just,
so fellatio and cunnilingus is great.
Giraffes are just going down on each other.
69ing.
That would be amazing.
Well, maybe their penises aren't like as big as you would think.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking.
Not like a horse dick.
But
their
tongue game is
the
crazy.
The concept of two giraffes fucking without falling over seems insane.
Yeah,
because
they're a little wobbly.
That?
Yeah, I feel like they should be lying down. They should be, you know
they
what
do
I mean?
Like
missionary.
Spoon position,
yeah, or spooning. The cow, reverse cowgirl.
And what sucks is that, what's good and bad is that we're one internet search away from seeing how that works.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what? You're right.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it's good and bad. I wish it wasn't
I will be checking later, though. You know I'm going to be searching.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually started using a new search engine. You know, DuckDuckGo. Okay,
no.
I don't use. So I've been. I'm not paranoid because I'm on everything. But you know how they track all. They track you, right? They track you. They find
absolutely.
You. They hear your phone. They hear you pee. Whatever. So Google searches everything. All your searches.
If you take a dump, Google will say, "How was that dump?"
Exactly. How's that? You should need a softer toilet paper. You have a hemorrhoid. But DuckDuckGo is a search engine that doesn't track you.
Okay.
So instead of using Google for your searches, you use DuckDuckGo, and it's the same. I mean, it's fine. If you're really paranoid about searching giraffes fucking or I want to sleep with my mom, like stuff that you don't want somehow to be tracked, just use DuckDuckGo.
Sort of, you don't want Google to know, but you don't want to go full dark internet either.
You don't want a dark web.
You don't
want
to have to figure out how to get on the dark web.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a foreign concept. I watched an entire documentary on the dark web and I still have no idea what it is or how to access it.
I know. How do you have to get a special browser? Do you use a special box?
Yeah, I was lost within the first 2 minutes.
Just like Repo Man. Lost within the first 19 minutes.
That might be the first and most perfect guest
segue.
Transition into the movie.
Absolutely.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
That is our movie from this week. It's from 1984. It is called Repo Man, directed by Alex Cox, starring Harry Dean Stanton, Emilio Estevez, Tracy Walter, a lot of 80s indie film people.
Yes.
What did you guys think of this movie? You hadn't seen it before, right?
I had not seen
Me
it
neither.
Before. When I first saw it, I didn't know it was. It's so weird with cult because I started watching it and I'm like, wow, this is a piece of shit. You know, it's so over the top. And I'm like, it's a B movie. What is this? And it got weird. And that skeletal flash over the top, it's like a sketch.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, it's Criterion Collection. It's, you know, Ebert, like it's this cult movie. And I'm like, oh, there's some sort of nefarious social commentary underlying it. But the plot confused the fuck out of me. I did like the punk, you know, I like the punk rock soundtrack. Yep. And Emilio's very milky skinned and delightfully, right. You know
in
what
his
I mean?
Underwear a lot.
Yeah, young and, just and nubile.
A live young man.
And Harry Dean Stanton, but so fucking weird. I mean, let's go do crimes. You know, like, right, that was my favorite. Yeah.
This movie is very hard to nail down.
I don't know what it is. Like, it was like someone ejaculated punk rock and aliens onto a screen.
This movie is so punk, it's not even a movie. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't
it's
even
not
hold
a movie.
It.
Yeah.
And he's English too.
He
so
is.
That would
he went
it.
To Oxford.
And some of the characters have English accents for some reason.
One random British punk girl.
And it
maybe
I felt like she only acquired that after she became a punk rocker. Like,
I felt like she's just bad. I thought it was bad acting.
But I really liked it though.
It's super interesting.
It's fun. It's fun.
Like it holds your attention so much because you have no idea where this movie's gonna go.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember seeing this movie, like, this is like in the video store, literally.
Right.
I remember seeing this movie and thinking, oh, I should check it out. And just like it was something I always wanted to see.
Right.
And I was in Australia at this comedy condo. And this
what
one.
What does that mean? Comedians fucking each other?
No,
what
it is
condo?
Is a comedy club. If they have a lot of, you know, comics they bring in from different places.
Right.
Instead of getting hotels, they'll just have an apartment.
Oh, that's cool. So it's a comedy condo.
A dedicated apartment. And then so whoever's playing that club that week. Stays
in the condo.
Was it one of the good ones or one of the scary ones?
It was right down the middle, you know, because I did it last year. Last year they had no AC, no Wi-Fi. This year they have AC,
fucking insane.
No Wi-Fi.
Okay, you have to choose in life.
So what they do have is like a ton of DVDs. And
it's Australia,
and a ton of
what
VHS
year is it?
Tapes.
Get some Wi-Fi.
Really? And the Betamaxes are in the closet.
They still have VHS tapes and DVDs.
And the VCR is all set up for you, ready to go?
Yeah, there's a VCR.
Is it on a Sony Trinitron? Or is it like a flat screen? Do you even have a flat screen?
It's a flat screen.
Okay.
And so it was decent. I did.
Was this a VHS?
No, this was a DVD. No disrespect. They may have had it on VHS too. No disrespect. And I won't say the club. You know,
please.
I did Febreze the couch a bit.
Wow. Okay.
And it wasn't easy to get Febreze in Australia, but
Febreze,
I found a place that had it.
they don't have Wi-Fi.
They don't have dryer sheets either. A lot of places.
They like it rough
some
and tumble.
Some people didn't even know
they
what
like
a dryer sheet was.
Dude, they line dry out in the desert.
They like their towels to exfoliate.
I think the thing is they soften it. They think
their water might be soft.
The wash cycle. That's what they think.
That's what they soften.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so they're just all
you were occupied with a lot of important shit going on.
So the condo didn't have Wi-Fi. So I said, well, you know.
Might as well pop a VHS.
Pop in Repo Man. And here's the thing. Like how you were confused the first few minutes
or
whatever.
Yes.
That excited me because it was like, oh, okay. Because I was thinking it was a straight, like, this kid becomes a Repo Man and someone tries to shoot him.
It's a
drama,
it was like a straight, racially tinged.
Yeah. And as soon as, like, 10 seconds in, someone gets lasered.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay, wait, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Immediately.
But
like,
the plot lines had no. But this is the kind of movie that I feel like I only appreciate it because I'm supposed, you know what I'm supposed to? If someone had said, this is the worst movie, it's unwatchable, I would have been like, yeah. But because everyone's like,
really
this is a cult movie and it's interesting,
yes.
And I'm like, yes, yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a very
it is.
Thin line between like cult
and
movie classic and like piece of shit.
Exactly.
But eventually one sort of morphs into the other. Like The Room is this cult classic.
I haven't seen The
but
Room.
But is also
unwatchable.
Fully acknowledged that this is terrible.
Well, this apparently has more, again, underlying commentary and poverty and like capitalism.
And some of it is like for instance when the parents are watching the television and the things the evangelist is saying, like that's like the playbook is that's the same playbook that's used now. Like sort of like saying go against liberals, Uber be Uber religious, whatever case. That's the same playbook that some people employ.
I just feel like if he had taken 9 more minutes working on the script, we could have come a lot farther.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just was like a first draft. Like literally when I say it, Jack, like because all this whole alien storyline, I guess it's funny, but then I wish there was a little more story, you know, a little bit. Like
it's punk, man. This movie just does what it wants
anarchy.
To do.
It's just
you know
anarchy.
Crazy
you're absolutely
about that
right.
Is, I actually watched the movie, then I watched, and I never do this, but I watched all the extra features.
Uh-huh.
Are there? Oh, I see. I didn't
so
see
I
the
watched,
extra features.
It was on a DVD, right?
Okay.
So
right.
I watched Harry Dean Stanton be interviewed.
Uh-huh.
He had
is
a big.
Is he alive?
No, no.
He died just recently.
He died recently, though. He had a. He's like served in World War II. His career is crazy.
Right.
He was directed by Hitchcock. Like he's done it. That guy. Right.
Yeah, he's been working forever.
But he had a big problem with Alex Cox. Like they got into it a lot.
If he's a serious actor, he's like, what the fuck you want me to do now?
Also, it was him. Like he wanted to use a real bat.
Oh, hello.
You know, shit like that.
Okay.
And then when they said no, you can't use a real bat. He got upset.
He was quoted as saying, "Harry Dean Stanton only uses real baseball bats."
I know, Jesus fucking
I fucking
Christ.
Love that. That's like the most.
He's a method actor.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I just read. You know, I scour TMZ on occasion. I just read this woman who was a stunt double on Resident Evil for Mila Jovovova.
Uh-huh.
She had to amputate her arm from a motorcycle accident, and she's trying to sue Paul Thomas Anderson because something like a malfunction on the motorcycle, and they're like, no, fuck you, you should have said you were uncomfortable. Like that's their answer. Literally amputated her arm. TMZ tonight, just check
like,
it out,
because of an accident that happened during taping.
Yeah, she's on the motorcycle. Sheesh. And she's supposed to can you imagine,
they're gonna end up having to pay her.
I would hope so. At least like
set,
40-50 bucks, at least Kaiser, you know what I mean, the Kaiser payments.
I don't know why you have to do like I appreciate practical effects, but I get it. If you don't, you know, not everything
CGI
needs to be practical.
That shit,
not
dude.
Everything needs to be practical.
I mean, stunts, I don't know.
And practical means they
everything
actually do it.
In this movie, practical as
right.
hell.
Yes.
Right.
That's one of the fun things is seeing, you can feel when they're making compromises because it's how they had to do it.
Right.
But like, it's fun because it's right. that like, fuck it, we'll figure it out as we go kind of filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah.
And they leave that stuff in too, well, like a lot. You're like, that was the best take. Fuck it, whatever.
Yeah,
do it.
It was really like a first ideas, first draft, first take.
And I think it's funnier than you expect it to be.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And they didn't know what the ending was going to be. Like,
well, you can tell. I don't think they still know what the ending is.
Was supposed to be something in South America. It's supposed to be drugs or something. But then they like.
Well, Miller got in that neon car, which I feel like they just shone like a big spotlight on the car. That's what they did. That special
effect. You know what
effect,
they did? They
like a green
put
light.
Reflective tape all over the car. $600 worth in 1984 of reflective tape and just shined a light
it's
on
like
it.
It's like a Burning Man art
that
car.
That is such a fucking amazing. Yes. Like I assume they used some cheap digital effect to make it glow like that. There's like, just a bunch of tape.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's like, that's the reason why, that's a big reason why it held my attention so much was just to see, especially when you realize this, there's aliens involved in this movie. You're like, how the fuck are they going to do this? And it's just all so like, fun and weird and
weird.
Different.
I feel like I should have been stoned. I'm not a stoner, but I feel like you should be stoned when you're watching this.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
But also, it's, when you watch the extras, and I don't normally do this, you just think like, and I don't know where to put it, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if it's hustling or what, but you're just like, how did this guy do this? How did these people make this movie? How did they get... And they talked about getting Emilio because the guy, the
was
punker,
Emilio a star at the time?
He was. I think it's
was
just
it
done
Breakfast
outside
Club
or something.
Outside?
Yeah, he was certainly more known
was
than
he a
anybody
Breakfast
else.
Club? Yeah, okay.
But that was probably after.
It was after. He was a star, but his agent wouldn't even give him the script.
Well,
so they went around and got it to him some sort of other way. And the guy who was his friend who hooks up with the girl and punker dude. He was supposed to be the lead, like all during the set, the lead up. And then at the end, they were like, well, you got to play this role because we
got Emilio.
Extras
are better than the movie, dude. I'm like fascinated right now.
No, it's
he's
a lot.
He's so
a lot
good.
Of crazy
I really believe
happened.
Emilio Estevez, I've never seen him play a smart character.
Right.
Because I was like, but he does it so well. So now I'm wondering if he's like, you know what I mean? Or if he's like a super intellectual, can quote, you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah,
he does play the dim guy really well.
Yeah, and character
when you look
in particular.
Like that.
Yeah, but he commits, man.
Yeah,
he's committed.
This kid who like thinks he's the shit but is also like extremely insecure.
Yes.
He plays him so well.
He's
sort of similar character in The Breakfast Club
where he
thinks the world of himself, but like he's
Anthony
also a maniac. He was also in it. He was the nerd.
He's the nerd. Okay.
Emilio was the jock.
Okay.
But he's so fun and dumb and strange in this movie.
Yes.
He laughs at moments that are completely like, dude, that is not funny.
Right,
like,
right.
Then you had that whole weird cop scene with like John Wayne was a fag. I'm like, what the? Where the fuck is this coming from?
That was based on a real story.
He talked about that. Yeah, he talked about that. That really happened.
Oh, see, this is good.
Someone told the director that, and the writer director, and he put it in. He said this guy swore up and down. Yeah, and he was like, I don't know if it's true or false.
I installed a two-way mirror in his place in Brentwood. Everybody likes to watch their buddies fuck. That was a weird moment too. And he's like,
so
don't
strange.
They? And I'm like, is he kidding? No, he's not kidding.
Tell
he was being earnest.
What tone were they taking?
It was such
like,
a weird.
Do these guys watch each other fuck?
Yeah. Right. Was he joking? Like, hey, but he wasn't. He's like, don't you? Yeah.
It was so odd.
Tonally, it was all over the fucking map. It really was.
But I enjoy it. Like, Harry Dean Stanton, his character was pretty consistent throughout.
Yes.
And really
that Parnell
great.
Guy, though, was weird.
Yeah, yeah. Super weird.
Which one?
The guy who was driving
John
the car.
John Parnell, whatever his name was. Yeah.
And then Miller, too, was like very interesting. And it all ends up kind of on him in the end, where he flies Emilio Estevez away in the car. Right. Like,
oh,
if you told
God.
Me at the beginning of this fucking movie that it would end with them flying away over Los Angeles in a green car,
with that girl going, what about our relationship? And he's like, fuck that.
Oh, I loved it.
That
I
was
loved
great.
It.
Just
I just
fuck
loved
that.
These, like,
he was such a fucking teenage boy.
Right.
And also these punks that were so not scared, like, let's go do some crimes, like let's go eat sushi and not pay.
Yeah,
that was
a
random.
I
no,
love
but that. Was that was? I'm sorry to cut you off, but that
no,
was a
please.
Joke because his friend had just been pulverized. So
right,
he was actually like saying, "Let's not do crime."
Yeah, yeah.
In that moment,
okay,
like he was saying, like, yeah, let's maybe scale this back.
Right, yeah, because then soon after that, he's like, "I want you to have my babies."
Right.
Oh, see, I missed that. That very pivotal moment.
But it's so like the punks are all so enjoyable too because they're all. It's like. The ones that at least we focus on are clearly kind of posers.
And it escalates so fast with
them.
It's
so weird.
Yes. I mean, they're fucking, they're such the most like 80s punk bad guys. Like everybody, they remind me of like Bebop and Rocksteady from the Ninja Turtles. Like they were just these ridiculous punk caricatures.
I got confused. I lost at some point. They lost me for a while. They're in the police station and that woman, the African-American woman, that really stunning woman. I don't know who she is, but she was stunning. What's her relationship? And then the guy, the other cop wants to shoot and he throws the hot coffee on him.
Okay.
What's happening there?
She works at the repo place.
At the acceptance.
Marlene.
Hands acceptance.
Right. Helping
hands
across acceptance
the
corporation.
No.
Like
Marlene works for the repo place, but she also kind of is a double agent and helps out the brothers.
The
Rodriguez
brothers.
Yeah.
Who are
so
competing.
Speaking of ridiculous caricatures, they were so fun.
With the hairnets, like literally driving around.
Driving through
but
the LA River.
But they all want the Malibu because it's just worth them. They don't know about
the aliens
in the trunk.
They just want the repo fee.
Yeah.
$20,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so funny, too, that like I love that it hinges on. It is a lot, but it's not that much.
Right.
And
well,
they're
in 84,
all,
I'm sure. Yeah.
But I mean, even that, like, what was 20 then? Like,
Even
when a guy, because Harry Dean is like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you can't do
like,
that with $20,000. You got great credit. Then do it anyway. You don't need the $20,000 if you got great credit.
I just love how the like, Repo Man goes alone.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I loved when he talked in the third person.
Beating
about
when
Repo
he went,
Man.
Yeah, when he went to that woman, the older African American woman's house and talk. I mean, that was an intense scene.
Well, I like it. There's one guy was just staring at him the whole time.
Yes.
And he's just smiling. It like
that was so funny.
I don't even know if that was acting or not, but it was great.
No,
and she
was.
Like the old lady too. She played it so sweet. And then as soon as they got home, she turned on the like. Well, here's what he's trying to do to me right now.
Yes.
And it was
and then like
watching
beating.
Him try to fold up his briefcase.
Yes, yes.
Right, like they took these moments to have these like almost slapsticky kind of comedy moments.
But then it gets intense really quickly.
And but she had paid. Just her sons had fucked. They had dicked around with the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great scene when he tries to.
Well, I just felt like that was the commentary on you know the injustice of it of people that can't afford to pay and have their car repossessed or have they don't know how to deal with credit. You know what I mean? Or they don't know how to like they're not aware of the ramifications. And so you know, and that so that was the moment where I was like, okay.
It felt a lot too like the overall thing was like. These are people kind of living on the fringe. Mm-hmm. Like when Harry Dean Stanton went off about like normal people, they disgust me. like they're you know sheep essentially, and we're the wolves out here.
Yes,
and it was fun. Like that's why I could live with how little some of the characters made sense.
Right,
what they lacked consistency.
Well, they weren't
it
really
was
characters,
all just like,
right?
They were just fucking crazy people. Yeah, yeah. It just felt like he was surrounded by maniacs, and he was. he just enjoyed the anarchy of it, of like,
yes,
these guys are fucking crazy. First day on the job, we're driving through the LA River getting chased by two Mexican gangbangers.
And even the first car he repossesses, he's laughing when the guy comes.
Yeah, when he realizes what's happening, but he's not helping this dude out. He he loves it.
But what was up with that Parnell guy with the whole monologue about I had a lobotomy, or my friend had a lobotomy, and then Emilio realizes it's him,
He's
like, who's your friend?
The radiation was getting to him, I think.
It was, yeah.
And did you know, like, when the movie first starts, I'm sitting there watching it. This is after the cop. So the cop gets pulverized. I'm like, oh, okay, what the hell's going on here? And then the next scene is they're in a supermarket, and everything is no frills, right?
Right.
And you think, oh, so this is a little bit of a statement, too, on consumerism or capitalism or something like that. They interview Alex Cox, and they're like, yeah, we tried to get a fucking product placement. Nobody would fuck with us.
That's why it was no frills.
Right. They got the car. No, they got the car air fresheners. Right. The car air fresheners were one of the really sponsors for that movie.
Yeah, it's just amazing that.
That's really.
Because when I see that, when that jumped out at me,
it's like it's communist.
Oh, sure, yeah, it feels like. And apparently, too, that was, I guess, sort of a common thing in the 80s when the economy kind of dipped. Was like, grocery store basic brands were like no frill labels, no extra money on anything, and people have since kind of forgotten that that was a thing. So because it now, feels like this commentary
because no frills
just
now,
says beer on it.
No frills now has like, it's like the name, the supermarket has like their own brand,
right? Yeah, it's like it's Whole Foods 365,
something like that. It's not just beer.
Apparently it was based on Ralph's, the California chain. The grocery stores used to sell just a white can with a blue label around it that said beer.
That's amazing.
And that was like, let's just do that for everything.
Right
And then he went on to direct Sid and Nancy, which I didn't see.
That makes complete sense.
He was just a big punk rock. They were like, he had a movie called Edge City, I think, that he did at USC or UCLA or something, and that didn't go anywhere, you know. Just crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a Brit just enamored by, you know, punk rock, American punk rock, California punk rock culture.
Yeah, it's such a like specific lane.
Yes.
But it's fun when you feel that the director is in this world. Like some of the characters feel like posers, but the movie doesn't feel like
a
poser.
Well, I feel like he probably did a lot of speed and did listen to the Ramones at all hours of the night.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's not listening to like, you know, Bach. A lot of
poppers and oh my God. It was just so fucking bananas.
It was.
And so
I had to watch a bunch twice. I did have to watch a bunch of scenes twice.
Yeah, there were times where I'd jump back because I thought I missed something. Right. Like, oh, no.
No, it's just nothing going on.
It's just how it goes. But I don't know. It doesn't suffer from that. And I guess that's... it didn't feel to me like this is a bad B movie. It was just like...
Well, it was trying to be bad in a good way.
Very B. Yes. It's like the most B movie.
Yes.
You know, it just
feels
like... Yeah.
They also had a great... They talk about having a great... Like, it's like a B movie, but you have Emilio Estevez. You have Harry Dean Stanton.
Yes.
You have this really... I forget the name of the guy, this great cinematographer who... It's just the shit they went through with this movie. Like, the cinematographer was great. They said he was really dope with lighting and he can make
it. It was Robbie Palmer,
but he believed in master shots. Right.
Right. So it's all kind of wide.
And you had to like beg him to get a close up or something.
Interesting.
And it's like, that's just so bizarre to me. You have to beg your DP to fucking.
That's a weird relationship.
Like they had to, when he throws the money out the window, which is a funny moment.
Right.
Like they don't open up the box. You just throw a fucking wad of cash out of this car. They had to like go back and get that because.
He didn't want to shoot it?
Yeah. He didn't want to get
that. Sounds delightful.
Right.
Oh my God. What was I going to say? Fuck, I was going to say
something. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say something really profound, and now it's just dissolved into oblivion.
I believe you.
Damn it.
That it was profound.
It's just important to know that it was out there at some point. We'll get back there.
Okay. We'll no, because I really wanted to say it, but that's
this
okay.
This is...
what's it about? You have to just go back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, we're getting old, man. This is like those conversations, like half the podcast is like, so was it... Really, I don't... when you said that you were talking... Yeah. Okay.
This feels to me, too, like, I mean, you guys both hadn't seen it either, where it's definitely one of those movies that, like you said, Dwayne, has been on your radar forever.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I've heard I'm supposed to watch this movie.
Yes.
I've heard it's great and super weird, but I never knew a damn thing about it. I never knew anything.
Yeah,
I knew the poster.
I
remember
either.
What Emilio Estevez looked like on the poster, but I didn't know anything about it. And I loved going into it like that because it really felt like, what the fuck is happening? This is insanity.
Now I got to watch Repo Men with Jude Law. That was the other title that came up.
I was trying to do a search for this on my Apple TV with the voice function. It did not want me to watch this movie.
That's crazy.
It kept giving me Repo Men. I'm like, man, God damn it.
I purchased it twice. I purchased it to rent $4. And then today I watched again and I purchased it again because it's only good for 24 hours.
Oh my God.
I spent $8 on this podcast, guys.
You don't have stars.
$8.
She should have.
I don't have.
You
rented
it?
I rented it.
Yeah, you should have just bought it.
I know. If I spent $8, I should have just bought it.
I couldn't watch it through stars, though, either. There was some weird thing.
Is that right? I watched it on Amazon.
Is anything else on stars? Because I don't watch, I don't have stars. Like, what's on there that's worth?
It's a lot of movies. It's got a lot of shows. Power is supposed to be pretty good.
What is Power?
It's the 50 Cent show, the drug dealers, blah, blah, blah. It's fun.
I did an episode of Snowfall.
Oh, Snowfall is dope. What I've seen almost all of them.
Yeah,
except
maybe
the last.
Cut me the fuck out.
Get out of the city.
The director wrote to me and goes, your scene got cut.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it was a good scene,
Snowfall
too.
Snowfall was great.
Good scene.
I like Snowfall.
It was fun. It was fun. It was a good scene. I played a Mossad. Agent.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, connected to the Israeli.
The Avi guy. Yeah.
So, what are you going to do? What are you gonna do?
That's a weird Hollywood thing. Like, we did this. It was
cutting
great.
Room floor.
Never sees the light of day.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell everybody, like, guys, catch me on Snowfall. And, like, we couldn't fucking find you.
Just know I was there.
Yeah.
That show you did, I came. We actually, the guy who, I think the director or producer lived right up the street from you. And I came and we watched one of the episodes.
Jonathan Ames, Blunt Talk.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember what I wanted to say. Thank you. Here's my really profound thought. It's going to be disappointing. I was surprised at how non-sexually graphic this movie was. No tits.
Right.
I mean, you think of these movies from this period, there's going to be some gratuitous bouncing around, especially punk rock. Like, there was nothing. I don't recall any sexual activity.
He talked about there was a sex scene with Emilio and the girl, but it just didn't look right. He joked about how he can't direct sex scenes.
Okay, maybe that's why, because it could have been funny too. I mean, there was all this opportunity.
I mean,
but
we see them jump in the car and have sex.
Fast forward.
I guess I missed that then.
When they're outside that UFO place, they jump back
in really
the back
quick.
Seat. Super quick. Like, they literally goes into fast forward, and you just see them move around.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I almost feel like
Robbie Palmer didn't want to shoot it.
Yeah,
you only see Emilio in his underwear, and then you got the old woman hitting on him.
So yeah,
right.
there's also the scene where he loses his girlfriend to his friend.
Right.
He leaves the room to get her a beer.
Super quick.
Comes back, and they're mid-fucking.
Yes,
they're
so
fully
weird.
Naked.
I was like,
like, God damn, that was
happened.
Fast. They were so sweaty.
He's like, leave him alone.
How long did it take you to get that beer?
Leave him alone. He just, whatever, she puts him down.
He's such a kid or baby.
Yeah, he's such a baby.
He's
like, what
baby.
Are you? You're a monster. You're doing this in front of me.
But he was so nonchalant about it, too.
Because it was not cool to give a fuck.
And then his friend said, this is my parents' room. You shouldn't be up here. Great. I was like, well, how many more elements are you going to insert
his
here?
His nerdy friend was
and they talked
a lot
about
of fun,
that,
too.
The producers and the director, mainly the producers, they all felt like that nerdy guy was just maybe the kernel. What Napoleon Dynamite may have been based on.
They look
and
similar.
And it was a character named Napoleon. He wasn't him. He was something. I forget his name. But
one
me
of
Anthony
the Rodriguez
Michael
brothers
Hall,
was Napoleon, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was supposed to be, the nerd was supposed to be Chris Penn, Sean Penn's brother.
Right, yeah.
But I guess they thought he played a little like too comedic. And
this
gave
guy
the role
perfect.
To this dude. He was so the quintessential 80s dweeb.
He looked like Anthony Michael Hall. Like they resembled same look, the tall, lanky kind of.
I love, like, when you first meet them, he's singing the 7-Up jingle, like, very poorly, and then Emilio Estevez gets pissed off at him, and he just goes, I wasn't singing. Like, that is a very Napoleon Dynamite. He's like, you're
true.
Standing in front of me, and you were fucking singing.
Gaslighting the scene. That's funny.
Yeah, and then everything is fuck you with Emilio's character, too, with Otto, because the guy's like, you were late, and you're not placing the things properly, and he just doesn't answer right away. Hey, are you listening to him?
Fuck you. The fucking security guard pulls a gun on him. This kid has balls of steel. He's got that dangly Barry Bonds earring, which is amazing. I love, but like, that's so early in the movie too, and that really hooked me. Like, his character, just the way he said fuck you, I laughed out loud.
I wonder if we would have lasted if it would have been an unknown actor.
That's, you know, a good what I mean? Question.
Like, if it wasn't Emilio, you would have been like, or nobody. If you knew no one in the movie, you probably would have lost patience after like 6 minutes. You're like, oh, if Emilio's in this, okay, let's see where this goes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, you know what I mean? Because he definitely engages you immediately, and he's even
also the biggest celebrity.
In that first grocery store scene, he's so clearly like, everyone else feels very much like a B actor, and he doesn't.
And he feels out of place a little bit. Yeah.
But it's so, I mean, that like angsty, angry for, he's angry at everything in the world, kid, is so much fun to watch.
And it's,
and the way he just like takes jabs at his stupid, shitty parents.
Right.
Like, oh my. I'd love to see it in the theater. Like, that's the kind of movie I feel like with a group of people.
Yeah, because you're like
a party, kind of like Absolutely. Little Shop of Horrors. You know, if you're doing that, because I saw it on my little ravioli size screen, and I'm sure it's not the same as,
that's
you know.
That's a good point. And, I love
the soundtrack too,
and this, even though he's just completely a teenage boy, like that's his energy. I love it when Harry Dean is that scene where he's saying, "These guys, how much do they owe?" And he's like, "They're winos. They don't have money." Like, it's just so weird. And in that moment, that he has that insight that this adult male doesn't have.
Yeah,
and the adult male is probably closer to being those people on the street than he thinks he is.
Right.
Because even later he goes, I've been doing this 10 years and what have I got to show for it?
Yeah. I mean, when he tells him to take the week off, he's like, his reaction is like, I cannot take a week off. Right. Are you insane? I'll die. Like, I don't have the money. It's you get to see this kid kind of be a tourist in this world that he's probably not going to end up in because he seems a little too smart, a little better.
Oh,
true.
I guess traveling over Reseda.
Maybe traveling through time somewhere, because Miller was talking about that.
I also love that.
I don't hate Miller's theory about UFOs, though. I got to be honest. Him talking about how they're just humans time traveling, I'm like, huh? I like that.
I don't mind that, but to suggest that humans, the way the planet was populated with humans is that they came from the future, still doesn't explain where they initially came from.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Saying? You're not looking for existential quantum physics theories emanating from this film.
And what was the one? I forgot about that. But I love just the fuck that at the end. I mean, it's just something great about, like, that's what he says to the girl. Not like
in the end, he's still just kind of an asshole.
Well, she was so annoying, too. God, there was nothing.
What about a relationship?
Fuck that. I get to go up with that guy. Looked like Fisher Stevens.
I'm going to space
actor.
With this dude. He did look a lot like
Fisher
Stevens.
I was like, is that Fisher?
I also
Fisher
thought
Stevens?
The guy who played Parnell in the car resembled Dennis Hopper quite a bit.
Oh, interesting. I could see that.
From the side. And apparently he was considered for Harry Dean Stanton's role, but Dennis Hopper was a little too crazy at the time.
Is that like, right?
He was going through his real life was like, they were like, we can't count on this dude.
Right.
Let's bring in Harry Dean Stanton probably to swing a real baseball bat at people's faces.
Oh.
And that scene where they throw the money out, that was supposed to be Harry Dean Stanton, but it was like he was upset about something.
Yeah, he almost got written out of the movie apparently because they butt heads so much.
I would have loved to see the trailer arguments and the violence.
Oh, absolutely.
That emanated.
Especially because Harry Dean Stanton is this like old Hollywood. I've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you, kid?
Yeah. Right,
like, that would have been fun to hear those like Christian Bale losing his shit on some lighting guy, but amplified by 1,000.
Absolutely. And a part of him has to be like, I shouldn't even be doing this movie, kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, he also like was that guy too, though. Like for a while, Harry Dean Stanton was popping up. I mean, he was in all like
he's
so many John Carpenter
movies. He was never like a leading man, right?
He was a B movie guy for sure. Like he was a face that you knew
exactly.
But
always
until
sinister,
you like,
right?
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's that guy. That guy's great, but you don't. I mean, I didn't really.
I don't
know
think he had the clout to walk
older.
Off set. You know what I mean? He'd be like, "This, he's lucky to have this gig."
I worked with Hitchcock. I played security guard number 2.
Exactly.
All right, buddy.
I got cut.
Right.
But it was so much fun to see, like a guy with that kind of clout, really lean into such a strange, silly at times movie.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, you had to commit to it. Otherwise, what's the point?
And that's that. I just really enjoyed the scenes with him and Emilio where he was like imparting his kind of ridiculous wisdom and the Repo Man code. And it was such like an odd character, but he played it so real.
But they were all in different movies. Like that tonally, Harry Dean Stanton and Emilio were playing it very real. The punk guys were not. Everybody was over the top. Some of them were over the top. The girlfriend was super over the top. You know, some stuff was really unbelievable. But then you get the stuff that was earnest. That's what it was like. It felt so disjointed, but that's part of it. It's like literally 19 movies kind of stitched together.
It feels like a mishmash of like several
Because if it was Harry Dean,
things.
It was like almost like Training Day. You got Harry Dean and Emilio, and they're playing it real, and I really wanted to take you somewhere and teach you something. You know what I mean?
You could have been something.
You could have been
something, Repo Man.
And then cut to like weird, you know, when I love when he said, those girls are like, nice friends you have, Otto. And I was like, yeah, I made them myself.
Right.
I love that line. There's just so many gems. Yeah, I made them myself.
He's like, I used to like these guys.
Yeah, the band. It was very Twin Peaksy, right?
Oh,
it felt very David Lynch, but B.
Yeah.
B David.
I loved the metal hand of the, was she an FBI agent? Whatever she was.
Yeah.
Just for no reason has a metal hand that's clearly just like a Michael Jackson glove. I loved it. It was just like, we couldn't get a metal hand, so fucking put on a glove. We're not changing the script.
You know what? There's one moment that doesn't, like a lot of the moments made sense to me, but one that didn't is after his friend was shot. And the girl that used to kind of have a thing with Emilio, with Otto, now she's sort of like, she has a gun on Otto. And his play makes sense because he's like, I don't know if she's going to shoot me. So he does what you should do. He's like, hey, any chance of us being romantically...
Right.
Can we hook up again? You know,
dude, he's 18.
Offering
he's
a woman
just,
sex
just
in
to
order
bone.
To save his life.
Right.
Yeah,
she's like, bollocks, you know. And she's English now. She's
right.
And so, okay, fine. She's not going to show him. But why does she throw him in a bag of popcorn?
Ooh.
There's a lot
I don't even recall.
She goes, here, Otto. And throws him a bag of popcorn and then leaves.
There's a lot of weird moments that almost feel like... Like the direction was like, all right, here's the scene. And at the end, just do something.
That's what I think.
There's a lot of really tacked on
stuff. Well, that non sequitur that was throwing the rat at the woman.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, how charming. Like, what is happening
this
here?
This always works on women.
She's supposed to jump. They should have shown it work once.
Yeah.
And then that way, because she's supposed to just go, and scream and jump
out of the car.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But he gets maced instead. I would have been out of that car.
I loved him getting maced too, where you see her spray it and then you cut to Emilio clearly not getting sprayed with anything. And he's
and the guy leaves him.
Just leave that. I loved how fucking crazy he was too.
He
was just like, you know, people see me come into their house, they think I'll murder him, and I will. I'll murder anyone who fucks with me. Oh shit, this guy is another level.
And this may be the first time, because this movie is from 85, I think, 84?
84.
It may be the first time someone called bullshit, because he's all like, I used to hang out with this band back in the day. They asked me to be their manager. I call bullshit on that.
He was great. That's what it is, I think, if the characters are enjoyable enough, and the acting is decent enough, that maybe separates it from I think the big issue with a movie like The Room
and
is the acting is horrendous.
Well, it's also
because
it tried not
issues.
To be funny.
Yeah,
it was trying to be a serious movie.
Exactly. This is like, we are what we are.
Well,
and
he's making fun. Yeah, he knows
enjoy
it's a comedy.
The ride.
Exactly. I mean, if it wasn't funny, it would be unwatchable. The fact that there's they're trying to be funny too. That's the difference. You know, some things are funny just because, but the director thinks it's funny. You're not laughing at bad.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's
Let's jump into these games while we have a little bit of time left. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you have to take a drink. What do you think, Dwayne?
I want to say, I usually don't have a two-step drinking game, but I think every time there's a reference to the trunk of the Chevy Malibu, just the trunk.
Yeah, there's a lot of
a reference or
don't
someone,
look in the trunk. I love
every time someone might open it, you have one drink or one sip, whatever, one drink. But every time someone does open it, you have two. It's not too much.
I like it. I like it. Okay. I enjoyed that whole storyline of the aliens were dead in the trunk, right?
But it was either that or a neutron bomb.
They were
or napalm. Someone mentioned napalm.
Well, the cop thought it was napalm, but the pictures of the aliens they showed were so what am I even looking at? Apparently, it was two condoms filled with water wearing grass skirts or
that
something.
That makes sense.
And then these aliens, I guess, are super hot when they die.
Yeah,
I don't know. The whole thing is fucking crazy. Let's see. What do I want to go with? Oh, you kind of touched on this, and it was a weird thing that I noticed immediately. Every time you notice how flawless Emilio's skin is.
Yes,
it's like, my God,
it is flawless.
This guy is in his prime.
Yes.
Just moisturizing, milky. Just crushing
milky.
It.
Yeah. No, you're right. I noticed a lot of, I think anytime you notice superfluous facial expressions, I feel like is a drink time. It's not a very subtly acted film.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So I feel like anytime it's like, oh, you know, if you put on silent, you could still really gauge what's going on. I feel like that would be a drink. And you would
like
be probably sloshed
like
by the
it.
End of it.
Let's come up with a new Oscars category for this movie. It did not take home any Oscars, guys. I'll say that.
Travesty.
But let's come up with a new category that if it was nominated for, it would definitely win. Dwayne, what do you think, man?
I want to say... even though it wasn't trying to be, but best ad or encouragement to keep your car note current, you know?
This was brought to you by the repo men. Well, I guess they wouldn't want you to do it, but just be responsible
the
financially.
The car companies would.
Yeah. Well, listen, just pay us. We don't want to do this.
Right.
We don't want to send these fucking maniacs to your home. For me, it would be a performance by a Harry Dean Stanton. I just want to give him an Oscar for being himself. He's the best. He's a guy that every time he's in something, he pops up in so much stuff that you don't realize he's in. Mm-hmm. And you're like, fuck yeah, this guy, he's great.
Absolutely.
And he's just, as much as he's apparently crazy and swinging a real baseball bat around on set, you also feel how hard he commits. And he gives this movie maybe more than he even thought it deserved, which I love
to
watch.
I like that. I think my category would be best film with the most grounded, clean, and sober Sheen family member. Because I feel like all the other Sheens are really fucked up.
Good
you know,
call.
Martin had his period, right? Was it,
when
he really went dark? Was
really
it Apocalypse Now?
Or I don't
know.
Apocalypse Now, yeah.
And then Charlie, of course, has his whole thing.
Because if Charlie was in this, it would... He's a great comedic actor, but he may have tried to make it like Stripes or something like...
Yeah, or just dark, right? He has a dark undertone. Emilio, I met Emilio Estevez years ago when I first moved to L.A. He lives in Malibu, and he grows grapes for wine. He's got his own winery.
He's my boss's neighbor. And
really?
He's
and he's
just,
lovely.
Like, the chillest dude.
I just talked to him, and I'm like, tell me about the your winery. And he also short, but tell me about your winery. And he was lovely. You know,
nice,
didn't
nice.
Seem to have any drug problems or STDs that were apparent.
not any showing.
Yeah, and I feel like there should be a category for a great performance by a clean and sober Sheen.
It's rare.
I like it.
It's
like
rare,
it.
And it seems like he did it right.
I
if he did have any horrendous drug problems, they've flown under the radar.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't heard of them. He seems like a nice family man living up in the mountains.
Just the coach of the Mighty Ducks.
Exactly.
That's
exactly right.
Gordon
Keeping
Bombay.
It G.
Right.
Let's see. What's your favorite moment in this movie and why? I will start this one off. I loved the scene where the punks are in the car together after the one got vaporized. And I want you to have my babies. Like, he suddenly has this come to God moment.
Right, right.
And then she gives him a popper and he's like, ah, screw it. Let's go do crimes. I just, oh man, I laughed so hard at that. Just so much fun. What do you think, Dwayne?
It's interesting because my favorite moment is right after that when he gets shot. And just the whole, like, I know a life of crime brought me. He goes, I know a life of crime brought me here. Yes, you tried to rob a store. You got shot.
Dude, his death like soliloquy was, it was amazing. He was suddenly this profound kid.
Right, like, and he's like, but society did this to me? Or I don't. And then Otto's like, you're a white suburban punk, just like me.
It was such like a... they went so poetic with it and such sort of like hokey though too with the way he did the very like
because it's weird like that you would set someone straight on a deathbed.
Yeah He has no sympathy for him. He's
no,
like, no, nah, man, you did this to yourself.
And then his answer,
you're gonna make it.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
But then out of nowhere he says, you're gonna make it, and it's like, what? No, man, he's not like, well. And then a second later, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Oh, God.
That was great. What do you think, Iris?
I gotta say, my favorite scene was the final scene where him and the Fisher Stevens clone are, you know, floating over. I can't even imagine, was it a car just on a lift inside the studio? You know what I mean? Like with someone walking back with postcards behind.
Yeah.
But something about that green car made, like the luminescent car made me happy. And Emilio's look of joy and
it
Miller's like,
huh?
It really transported me.
Yeah, I
loved
really
it. Did. It left me with a good feeling. It's Miller, nice to end up. Yeah,
you're like happy for Miller. You're
happy
like
happy for everybody.
This guy's
he was right.
He can't even
He's
drive.
He's the only
he
one who
right.
gets it.
Right. Yes. And where are they going to go? And I feel like I wanted a sequel. Yeah. And I wanted their adventures. You know. And I feel.
I believe he wrote. It might just be like a graphic novel or something.
Oh, okay.
But there is
maybe
like
I'll
a,
read it.
There is like a 10 years later
okay.
auto.
Is
okay.
that right?
Yeah. So
oh, wow.
I can't remember what it's called, but I was reading up on it a bit.
I love it.
And yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yes.
Like, what happened? Did they travel through time together?
It just looked fun. It made me happy.
It was great.
That
I loved the really long shot of the city when you saw the car in the distance.
Yes.
And it just looked like a little green sticker.
Exactly.
Just moving.
Someone with a pencil.
Oh, it was so
yeah,
great. I love when like, just something about like practical effects. When they're so bad, they're good.
Well, where yeah, because like, it makes sense. It fits.
Right. Yeah,
well, it's the gestalt like of the movie.
If it's a junior high school or high school movie, you're like, good on you.
Yeah,
make,
yeah, you guys crushed it. Like,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, a, yeah.
let's rename this movie. Repo Man. Good, solid title. But let's give it a new one. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, I have two. One kind of serious and one kind of silly. Final Notice.
Okay.
Even though that sounds more like a horror film, but it's more like, because the movie has some mm-hmm. grand aspirations, so it's like Final Notice, or we're going to take your car, but also as a society, Final Notice.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right,
that we
right,
have to
right.
come together.
Yes, you know, yes,
that.
Yes.
And then,
it's got levels.
The other one is Get Otto Here.
Ooh, oh, wordplay. Like
they have that joke in there,
yeah,
too.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wait, what does he say?
Otto
like parts.
Auto part. Yeah, yeah. Auto,
and then
auto
it turned
parts.
Out a second guy's name was Otto.
That's so ridiculous. The cop's name is Otto.
Yeah, yeah. Shit that they just like glossed over so right. quick. They never acknowledge. He's never like, he never said, he says it to Otto.
Yeah.
Oh, and he never like, says, oh, your name's Otto.
Oh, my fucking
so
God.
So strange. So
That's
strange.
That's funny.
My title does not have the levels that yours does. Mine is just Emilio in his underwear.
Okay.
It felt a lot like he.
It probably would have done better in the box office with that.
Yes.
It felt like yeah. he
Calvin
might have
Klein.
Pushed for like more. He was like, let's do another underwear scene. And I was, yeah. Again, reading up on it. Apparently, just really enjoyed walking around set in his tidy whites.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How old was he when he shot this?
That's a good
20s?
Question.
Probably early 20s.
Yeah, probably early
yeah,
20s.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably early 20s.
I have more of a collective title. I just like to call it Repo Group. You know what I mean? Repo Group. And then it's more of like, you get the company. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's more
right.
about the ensemble. Repo Group.
I like that because it also sounds like Regroup.
Yeah, Repo bit. Group. Yeah.
I really, I loved the random out of nowhere, like Repo Man does this and Repo Man does
that. He goes it alone.
he treated himself like such a like a mercenary, you know.
Yes.
Like,
oh, and I love the part of like, it doesn't matter, you're taking this too personal, kid.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
A Repo Man got hurt.
Yeah. When he got beat up,
like
they're all
code.
Like, we have to do. Yeah, I wonder if that's real.
Do they still have Repo Men? People
yeah,
repos, get
sure.
your car
yeah,
repossessed.
Yeah, yeah.
They just
I feel
boot
like,
it.
Yeah, I feel like there's
it.
Like
eventually they won't
like
though.
Shitty,
the car will just drive back to the dealer.
There's some shitty reality show about Repo Men for
Maybe,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
There definitely
yeah,
is
sure.
because when I was looking for
no,
this movie,
is, you're right.
it came up.
I don't know what it's called though.
I think it's called Repo Man.
Wow.
But it's yeah, it's like
terrible.
It's like literally, it's like cops, but like they're just fucking horrendous.
It is very much that.
Let's sum this movie up in 5 words, guys.
Yes, and you said Schadenfreude. That's when you. Wish bad upon others, or you
yes.
enjoy
the joy
failures.
In others' pain. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Was that for the listeners?
No,
do you think they're dumb?
Therese just said that. Yeah,
no,
you
no,
never
I mean,
know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Breaking it down.
Not everyone.
I believed everyone listening knew what that meant.
I don't think I knew what that word was.
No, that's,
4 years
ago. That's definitely one of those words
yeah.
that, like, when it pops up, you're like, oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
right,
like,
right. Yeah, let's sum it up in 5 words. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, we haven't touched upon this, but when I was looking at it, because of the effects, the you know, the sort of concurrent storylines and the music. Unofficially, I would say this is sort of the title is unofficially Quentin Tarantino's first film. it just felt very much like
that's interesting.
Like a early Tarantino, like the
like
way that,
when
the
he
way
was a teenager,
were,
a student film.
Yeah, the way the scenes were delimited, like it just felt like.
I'm sure he was inspired by it. That and
yeah,
Korean
yeah.
cinema, right? That
yeah,
seems
think,
to be his.
I think he had to be inspired by this. Not that, I mean, his movies are great, but it just
yeah,
felt
yeah,
like
yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, his movies have that kind of punk vibe to them, too.
Where right, it's right.
like, I'm going to do this.
He's much more
the way
meticulous
I do
with
it.
His plot, though.
Yeah, yeah. This yeah. would have been like when he was 13, he got a camcorder.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Like, I threw this thing together, and you're like, holy
yes.
shit.
right.
You got something here, kid.
Yeah.
My five words are strap in, it's fucking nuts. Because that's the only way to watch this movie. I feel like just sit down, strap in, enjoy it. Don't worry about reason. Don't worry about logic.
Yes.
Just let it be this crazy, weird 80s movie.
I don't know if mine might just be an alternate title, but mine was Wish I Had a Hatchback. Just because I feel like it would have simplified the movie. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
If the trunk, you don't have to open so the trunk, it was yeah, a hatchback.
Yeah.
And then people
in.
Could look in and right. just make
oh,
it much simpler.
Yeah.
I probably would have derailed the movie, but
that's
I feel
hilarious.
Like, you know, maybe they should have been repossessing more hatchbacks. That's all. That's my...
But see, that's also why I thought about Tarantino, because the whole... opening the trunk
yes,
thing
with the
and
gold.
That scene
yes.
oh, yeah,
felt like
yeah.
the opening of the suitcase.
That's a good point.
I thought of
I wonder,
that. When I saw that, I thought of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It immediately yes. looks like that. I wonder if that
John
was
Travolta's
like a similar... Maybe if that was the inspiration for Tarantino doing it. That's,
right, right.
That's interesting. That is about it. This was a lot of fun.
Yay, thank you so much.
Thank
that
you so
fun.
Much. Thank you for being here. Tell everybody where they can find you online,
yes,
in the
please.
World, all that sorts of stuff.
Please subscribe to the X-Ray Podcast, XRAEPOD.com, or you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can find me on Instagram at IRIS.BAHR. And then I'm on Facebook, and I don't tweet. I'm not good with the tweeting.
Yeah.
Instagram,
Twitter's
I'm also
over,
like,
man.
Fine. I put a picture of a sunset today. But sometimes I'll do my characters and alter egos and, you know, all that stuff.
Nice.
And if you're in New York, when is this airing?
This will come out, actually, this upcoming Monday, the 21st.
So please come, if you're in New York, please come see me at Caroline's, October 23rd. I have Leah Bonema hosting and Joelle Nicole Johnson as my guest, and then I headline.
Awesome. Oh, nice. Yeah, she's dope. We did Colbert together.
Oh, I know.
Kinda.
She's awesome.
It aired different times.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We taped the same time. Yeah.
So.
DwaynePerkins.com is the website. Dwayne Perkins on the gram. FunnyDP on Twitter. Also, I mainly just retweet things I've done on other things.
Right on.
Twitter's a bit of a toxic space.
it's all fucking
opinion.
Toxic.
Yeah, and mainly in LA for the, you know, from now till... Christmas, got a New Year's show. I'll put that on my website soon. That'll be up in Northern Cali. And my book, Zombie Run, available on Amazon. So
go
cop that. Yeah, fairly
Sweet.
New. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Check it out, guys. I am at TK Kelly Comedy on all social media. We are at Movie Nightcast on all social media. Keep sending us your ideas for movies you'd like to hear us talk about. We love hearing from you guys. We got to a few recently. We had a listener suggest Sneakers a long time ago, and I like completely forgot about
it. Right, right.
And
so
I
want to acknowledge.
Once again, don't have his name pulled up.
Oh shit!
I'll get you next episode, buddy. I swear to God.
Pull it out.
He messaged me, and then but it was several weeks ago. Dwayne's been gone for a month, guys. I blame him.
Yes,
threw me off. But follow us and keep. Keep talking to us. Keep listening. We love you guys. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I did.
Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.